Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with orthodox Christian doctrine, apologetic accuracy and discernment, but to help you become a faithful apprentice of Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, please call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, go to our website at equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. It is so good to be in the studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265, and we will be going to your calls live in just a moment. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Our contact information on the web, equip.org. Via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants are standing by that number, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. We've been talking all month about a brand new resource, Secrets to Real Intimacy with God, when things start to go awry, and inevitably they do in a fallen world. We need to know how to get back to a centered position in Jesus Christ. And we don't do that as mere rugged individuals. We do that within the community of faith. Yesterday on the broadcast, I was talking about baptism. And so often people argue or debate modes or methods of baptism. But one of the sad realities in the modern church is we oftentimes induce people to be baptized through all kinds of manipulation tactics. But that wasn't what baptism was in the early Christian church. In the early Christian church, when people were baptized, in a response to their reception of the gospel, they were, as it were, taking on a death sentence. They were in the epicenter of a Caesar cult. And to be baptized was to say, I am now visibly, tangibly, identifying with Jesus Christ. Caesar is no longer Lord. Christ is Lord. And so they were willing to face all the indignities that one human being could foist upon the other. It was a sign and a seal that they had indeed been buried to an old life, raised to newness of life. And communion is very much like that. It is an expression of ecclesia. As we all partake of the same elements, we partake of that which the elements symbolize, Jesus Christ, through whom we are one. And I use the word ecclesia here because the word church has taken on a decidedly connotative meaning. Properly understood, the church is not an institution, it's a relational organism in which each member belongs to all the others, a glorious, organic, corporate expression of Jesus Christ. And as each member of the body serves its vital function within the whole, peace will invade our beings and we will finally realize what it means to be home. Secrets to Real Intimacy with God, available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. You can get your copy online at equip.org for your gift. Also want to mention, before we go to our callers, that we have a brand new daily e-truth that we started last year, short videos, written answers to questions, and much, much more, direct to your inbox each and every day. You can sign up by simply going to equip.org/e-truth. And then finally, I want to mention that I'm going to be speaking this weekend in Lutz, Florida, at the Global Impact Conference at Idlewood Baptist Church that's just north of Tampa. That, again, is Sunday evening, February 23rd. You're all invited to attend. For more information, you can contact the church, 813-264-1515, or the website at www.idlewood.org. You can also, of course, go to our website at equip.org. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone callers. First up is James, listening in Springfield, Missouri, on Bot Radio. Hi, James.
Hi, how you doing, Hank?
Doing well, thank you.
Just had a quick question for you. First of all, what would you do? You have anything? I would just need some information about motivational speakers like Dwayne Dyer and especially Les Brown. And I just had some people I know that's been listening to Les Brown a lot, and you know, I just wanted to know what you thought of them, if you knew about them at all.
Yeah, I mean, these are people who traffic in what we call New Thought metaphysics, where thoughts and words create reality. So it's not just motivational speaking. There's a spiritual component to it, and that spiritual component is grounded in that which does not correspond to reality.
Okay, so you would say, I mean, it's to me, because I checked them out, kind of listened to them, and it seemed almost kind of dangerous, like they was putting ourselves more on a pedestal than, you know, than Christ.
Well, that's why I say it's a human potential movement. I mean, if you look at the Tower of Babel, that was human potential personified. It was man by his own efforts, his own abilities to achieve all things. And this is essentially what human potential is. It's a failure to recognize that we are utterly dependent on the divine.
All right, thanks. Hey, thanks a lot, Hank.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Talk to Kay, listening in Des Moines, Iowa, KLTE. Hi, Kay.
Hi. I just had a question about someone told me that Christianity was descended from the pagan religions, Mithras, and some other ones that had like 12 apostles and a son and a mother and a virgin birth. And my best answer that I could give was this all was sort of seen ahead of time in Genesis, like through the seed of the woman. You know, and things like that, and even Isaiah talked about this sacrifice that was to come, because they were saying it was that was one of the accusations was that about Mithras and that stuff, and then that the Catholic Church was had come up with this whole idea of sacrifice, and I was like, no, that was way older than that, because Isaiah talked about it. But the religion thing were. That's the main thing I guess I wanted to ask about.
Yeah. Well, truthfully, the alleged similarities as well as the terminology that's used to communicate those similarities are greatly exaggerated. So parallels, for example, between the resurrection of Osiris and the resurrection of Christ are an obvious stretch. And for the mystery religions, that's about as good as it gets. The other thing is that mystery religions are syncretistic, in that adherents not only worshipped various pagan deities, but also frequently embraced aspects of competing mystery religions while continuing to worship within their own cultic constructs. But Christianity is far different from that, in that converts to Christ singularly place their faith in the one who said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So in short, what you have with the mystery religions is they are looking at things through the opaque lens of their own paganism. So they do take many times ideas that have some sense of truth, but it's distorted through their own realities or through their own syncretistic constructs. But the other thing, and I think this is the basic thing, is that people are exaggerating the similarities between the mystery religions. And then oftentimes the mystery religions don't precede Christianity, they follow Christianity. So the people communicating this kind of mythology have the chronology all wrong.
Okay. What would be a good resource I could maybe study to be more able to give an answer to
We have a resource listed on the web. I can't remember what it's called right now, but if you hang on, we can put that into your hands. The other thing is I've written about this in an entry in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition. The entry is called, Was Christianity Influenced by Ancient Pagan Mystery Religions?
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate your broadcast.
Yeah, I just looked up the resource. It's by Ronald Nash, and it's titled The Gospel and the Greeks.
Oh, okay, and that will give me a lot of info about that, huh?
It will.
Okay, I really appreciate that. Thank you very much.
You got it. And something else that springs to mind, all kinds of things are entering my fertile mind as I'm thinking out loud here. We did an article in the Christian Research Journal. It might be online at equip.org. That would be something good to look at as well. Back to the phone lines, and we'll talk to Zachary next, listening in Arizona, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Zachary.
Hi, Hank. First of all, I want to thank you for your ministry. I listen quite often, but not often as I should. I'm a pretty young guy. I'm only 24.
Uh-huh.
But, I'm currently in a really difficult place in my life. I'm just really, really struggling with, my Christian morals, and I have, my main issue is with, sexual desires and stuff. Like, I have a problem with pornography, and I don't know really what I should do about it.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people have that same issue today, and I think that it's a first step to take to actually acknowledge that you have the problem and recognize it for what it is. It is a deep, dark, difficult problem to deal with, and therefore you don't want to try to deal with it alone. One of the things that I encourage Joe Dallas, who's been on the program many times, to do is to write a book on this very thing, and he came up with a book called The Game Plan, Men's 30-Day Strategy for Attaining Sexual Integrity. And I think it is the absolute best thing on the market today in order to deal with the kind of thing that you're dealing with. And as I say on the back of the book, no one understands this subject better than Joe Dallas, and nowhere is there a more biblically user-friendly game plan for Christian men committed to reclaiming moral purity. It's a resource nobody should be without. So this is something that I highly recommend to you. And it's not a gimmick. It's not, 30 days, 5 days. People have all kinds of 10 steps and 7 steps. This is the real deal.
Wow, that sounds great. I never heard of that before.
Yeah, it's called The Game Plan, the Men's 30-Day Strategy for Attaining Sexual Integrity.
All right, I'm definitely going to look into that.
And it is available through our ministry if you want to hang on.
Okay.
Bless you.
Thank you. I appreciate
Zachary,
it.
Before you go, let me pray. Father, I thank you for Zachary, for the deep hurt that he feels, for the fact that he wants healing. Lord, I pray that you would bring people and resources into his life so that he might gain victory and, Lord, ultimately be a testimony to your grace. Lord, we all struggle with besetting sins, and so let not one look down upon another, but as the body of Christ, when someone falls, may we be there to pick them up. And Lord, we pray that you would bless Zachary, that you would indeed give him victory in this circumstance. And we pray this not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Zachary, hang on. If you can't afford the book, you said you're a young guy, I'd be happy to give you the book as my gift, but hang on, I want to put it in your hands.
I appreciate it, Hank. That was beautiful, by the way. I think I really needed to hear that.
Well, I'm so glad you called me.
I'm glad that you were there, as a great resource for all struggling Christians nowadays. It's definitely a tough time for, those that try to keep the faith.
It is indeed, and the Lord will give you the strength. I mean, if you have the willingness, he will bring the resources into your life, and I think the game plan is a great place to start. You hang on. We'll put it in your hands.
I appreciate it.
You got it, my friend. Appreciate your call. A lot of people struggling, and Jesus is the answer. It's not a trite statement. When we talk about Jesus being the answer, we mean that we recognize that Jesus is the only one who has all the answers to the exigencies of life. And thus, all we need to be willing to do is say, I don't want anybody else's advice. I want the advice of the one who is God in human flesh, the one who created me, the one who knows every fiber of my being. And so, as those who are participants in the kingdom, we have the resources, the richness of His grace at our disposal. And He will never leave us or forsake us. Those who seek light, He will indeed give them light and ultimately give them victory so that they can be trophies to His goodness and to His grace. We'll be right back in just a moment with more answers.
Whether you're talking about the game of golf or the art of Christian living, you have to focus on the basics to be successful. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wants to put his newest book, Secrets to Real Intimacy with God, in your hands this month. He wants to help you know our Creator's deep love for you. This special resource is our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please call to request your copy today. 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. We'll be right back with Hank Hanegraaff after this. Hank Hanegraaff stumbled upon a secret when it comes to his beloved game of golf. When things go wrong with his game, it's not because he's failing to follow some faddish formula. It's because he's compromised a basic fundamental. Getting back to basics applies not only to the game of golf, but also to the art of Christian living. And that's why Hank wants to put his newest book, Secrets to Real Intimacy with God, into your hands. He wants to help you know our Creator's deep love for you in Christ. And he wants to send you a copy of Secrets to Real Intimacy with God as thanks for your gift to support the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please, share generously today and request your copy of Secrets to Real Intimacy with God. Go online to equip.org and request your copy. That's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Sandy Hook School, the Washington Navy Yard, the Aurora Theater. Mass murders such as these have been shaking the national composure with alarming regularity. And such shootings only begin to tell the story of gun-related violence in America. Should current gun laws be strengthened, or does the solution lie elsewhere? Other topics include The New Nothingness, a look at Lawrence Krauss's A Universe from Nothing. God is love, but is love God? Does the Bible require Christians to attend church? God and the unreasonable effectiveness of mathematics, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. People are looking for love in all the wrong places. But to find real love and amazing intimacy, we don't have to look any further than our Creator, the one who wants to know you and loves you enough to give His life for you. This month, Hank Hanegraaff wants to help you grow into a deeper love with the one who made you by sending you his newest book called Secrets to Real Intimacy with God. It's his way of saying thank you for your gift in support of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, a gift that helps reach others who are desperate to know true intimacy with God. So please, share generously today and request your copy of Secrets to Real Intimacy with God when you call 888-7000-CRI with your gift. 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI.
Life is a series of one challenge after another. And when things begin to fall apart, we're often tempted to look for solutions in all the wrong places. That's why this month Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you a special resource to help you draw closer to our Creator. It's called Secrets to Real Intimacy with God. And this book is our thank you to you for your donation to the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man. So go to equip.org right now with your gift. That's equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Azzy, listening in Indianapolis, Indiana, WBRI. Hi.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I have a question that I've been wrestling with this for a while now. It's about fasting. I've been told that the scripture in Matthew, well, it's really in Mark, I think, 9, where it really gives it in the ninth chapter of Mark about when the man brought his son to the disciples to heal him, and they couldn't heal him. And when the disciples got Jesus to himself, they asked him, why couldn't we cast him out? And Jesus had told them about, you know, their unbelief and all of that. And then he said, at the end, he said, these kind come by fasting and prayer. And I've been told that that means that we are supposed to fast and pray to, you know, cast out demons and such things. And I was reading over in Isaiah 58, where God was telling Isaiah to tell the people about fasting. And in the New Testament, I don't see where God has told the people to fast like he did in Isaiah. Can you give me some enlightening on the fasting in
sure.
The New Testament?
Well, you know, the first thing that I have to tell you about this is the addition of the phrase "and fasting" is likely what's called a gloss or an addition, because it's not found in the best available manuscripts. So I think that the text is best rendered, this kind can come out only by prayer. But with respect to fasting, Jesus certainly emphasized fasting. I mean, if you look at the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men that they're fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. The purpose of fasting is God and not men. Fasting allows us to focus on spiritual things. It reminds us of our weakness and complete dependence on God. So we fast from food so that we can feast on God, as it were. And I think in that sense, you can understand why this addition would be made, this scribal addition would be made, because there was a huge emphasis on fasting in the early Christian church. And so it's not at all implausible that someone would add that to the text, because the entirety of the meaning is that we must have prayer of faith, and that prayer of faith is exemplified through fasting. That prayer of faith is not faith in our own faith or in our own efforts, but it is solely faith in the resources of our Heavenly Father. In that sense, faith is only as good as the object in whom it is placed. If it is faith in our own faith, it is credulity. If it is faith in God, it is well-placed faith, because God can do all things. But again, there is a emphasis on fasting in the life of Jesus Christ. So if we want to be Christ-like, we need to do the things that Jesus Christ did, and that would include fasting.
All right. Now, that brings some light on it. But now when he was saying that these kind, that didn't, it means the kind of demons that they was casting out, was trying to cast out.
Well, I think, yes. I mean, but I think that this is a very difficult situation, and the disciples have to understand that for them to be enabled to do the work of the kingdom, they have to make use of the resources of the king. Jesus, in context, if you look just before this, has been on the Mount of Transfiguration. And remember that Jesus, in the incarnation, voluntarily veiled the prerogatives of divinity. He didn't divest himself of a single attribute of deity, but he voluntarily veiled them. So he depended on the Father. The Father was his resource, and this is the lesson that Jesus Christ is giving to his disciples. I think ultimately it is not our job to try to figure out whether the malady is a sickness, whether it is the world, the flesh, or the devil, but it is our charge to depend not on our own might or our own power, but rather on power from above.
All right. That puts a lot of light on it.
Well, bless you. I appreciate your call.
Thank you so much. All right, and thank you much.
You got it. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Tim, who's listening in Omaha, Nebraska. Hi, Tim.
Hey, how are you doing, Hank?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good. Hey, I was just curious. I got a couple people I associate with, and seems like they both believe in the Bible, both go to church, and I don't believe in Jesus and all, but I'm not real well versed in the Bible, but I do know quite a bit about what it says. And one of them seems, you know, has a lot of questions about the Bible, and I feel like I can answer them pretty well. And the other one seems like he knows everything about the Bible, and you know, does somewhat listens and somewhat doesn't. But it's funny because, you know, the one, it doesn't line up with the Bible, so I try to go to the Bible to reference things. And it seems like they both listen, but then they just do completely the opposite of what they say they believe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just curious, do I keep pouring into them, or do I just kind of say, hey, you know what, go figure it out for yourself, or how do I deal with that situation?
Well, there's a sense in which Jesus addressed that when he said, do not give dogs what is sacred, do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they'll trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. But look, I mean, the bottom line is wisdom is the application of knowledge. And this is the very thing that Jesus drives home in the Sermon on the Mount when he says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and then puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, but it didn't fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But, says Jesus, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain comes down, the streams rise, the winds blow and beat against that house, and it falls with a great crash. Now, James uses irony to point the same thing out. He says, you know, if you hear without doing, or if you have understanding without application, that's not wise at all. It's kind of like a man who looks in a mirror, sees that his face is dirty, but then fails to wash it. So again, wisdom is the application of knowledge, and if people hear things but they're not going to apply them, they're not wise. They are, in fact, foolish.
Okay. And then I had one other quick question.
Sure, yeah.
One of the same persons that was asking me questions about the Bible all the time kind of told me that, like, I guess the person that teaches his Sunday school class is gone, and the person that backs him up is gone, so he is going to be teaching the class. And I said, have you prepared, you know, how much have you prepared for them? And I see him almost on a daily basis, and I see that he's not grounded in the Word exactly, you know. Says that he loves Jesus, but yet I don't see it, you know. You can tell by the fruits of their life, you know. And I kind of advised him, he said, what would be, I said, well, you know, you might want to sit down for this whole week and read the chapter that you're going to go over. and at least get an understanding of it, and kind of warned him about, you know, if you're going to be teaching to 25 people, you better make sure you have the right information to teach. What advice would you maybe have for me to give to him to make that a little more clear?
Well, I think your exhortation is wise. You know, the Bible is very clear about this. Let not many of you be teaching, because with teaching there is a stricter judgment. So I don't think that any one of us should ever attain to the job of teaching in a cavalier fashion. There's a great responsibility. I find what I do to be daunting on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, because when I go out and speak, people will come up to me and I find out that they made a life decision based on a throwaway statement on my part. It wasn't even the main point for me. And so I realize every single day that I come into this studio and answer questions, there's a huge responsibility, and that I'll be held accountable for what I say and do. So when I'm done doing the Bible Answer Man broadcast, I'm typically drained for that very reason. I feel the weight of that responsibility, and I don't take it lightly, and I don't think anybody else should either.
All right. Held doubly accountable, right?
Absolutely, and so I think your exhortation to your friend is exactly what he needed to hear, and that's what friends do. They tell people not what they want to hear, but what they need to hear.
Okay, very good. I appreciate your time.
You got to appreciate your question. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Bob. He's listening in Norborn, Missouri, Bot Radio. Hi, Bob.
Hello. Listen, I just want to know what you think of Les Feltic.
Well, I don't feel very good about what he's teaching people. He's an ultra dispensationalist, and holds that there are essentially two gospels, one for the Jews and the other for the Gentiles. And I don't think that there's any truth to that. I think it's a very dangerous teaching. In fact, the mystery of the gospel is the two have become one. So to make two different gospels, one for one and one for the other, is decidedly unbiblical.
Yeah, I didn't know. I listen to him every day. I know that. So I know Paul said he had a new gospel, and I never had ever seen that before.
Well,
I didn't know.
Yeah. Well, this is why it's so important for us to test all things and hold fast to the good. Because Paul warned in the Word of God that even from among your own numbers, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after themselves. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each one of you night and day with tears. And in our particular culture, which is increasingly biblically illiterate, people who have false teachings or faulty teachings can easily lead others astray because they don't have the wherewithal by which to test or discern. This is one of the ministries of the Christian Research Institute. We are ultimately a discernment ministry. We're asking people to always be ready to discern heat from light, wheat from chaff, and then always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within them with gentleness and with respect. By the way, if you would like to listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast on your smartphone, we have an Equip app. It's now available for Apple and Android. You can not only listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live, but you can listen to archived broadcasts as well. You can read articles. You can listen to Ask Hank features and much, much more. All of that on the Equip app. Again, available for Apple and Android. Right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Not only do fast food Christianity books make unbiblical promises, they ultimately promise what they cannot deliver. That's where Hank Hanegraaff's Secrets to Real Intimacy with God stands apart. Instead of an instant formula, Hank's new book helps you grow in intimacy with the lover of your soul. Hank wants to send you a copy of his special resource as thanks for your gift when you support the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please request your copy when you call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff.
people are looking for love in all the wrong places. But to find real love and amazing intimacy, we don't have to look any further than our Creator, the one who wants to know you and loves you enough to give His life for you. This month, Hank Hanegraaff wants to help you grow into a deeper love with the one who made you by sending you his newest book called Secrets to Real Intimacy with God. It's his way of saying thank you for your gift and support of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, a gift that helps reach others who are desperate to know true intimacy with God. So please, share generously today and request your copy of Secrets to Real Intimacy with God when you call 888-7000-CRI with your gift. 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. In the new book titled The Myth of Persecution, Notre Dame scholar Candida Moss argues that the tradition of long, bloody persecutions of Christians by a hostile Roman Empire and the heroic martyrdoms of the faithful have been invented by the church and its historians. There is only one problem with this thesis: the actual historical evidence. Other topics include the gun control debate, two Christian perspectives. Alexander Solzhenitsyn confronts the Grand Inquisitor, what cops can teach Christians about the critical use of language, don't all religions lead to heaven, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff stumbled upon a secret when it comes to his beloved game of golf. When things go wrong with his game, it's not because he's failing to follow some faddish formula. It's because he's compromised a basic fundamental. Getting back to basics applies not only to the game of golf, but also to the art of Christian living. And that's why Hank wants to put his newest book, Secrets to Real Intimacy with God, into your hands. He wants to help you know our Creator's deep love for you in Christ, and he wants to send you a copy of Secrets to Real Intimacy with God as thanks for your gift to support the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please, share generously today and request your copy of Secrets to Real Intimacy with God. Go online to equip.org and request your copy. That's equip.org. Sandy Hook School, the Washington Navy Yard, the Aurora Theater. Mass murders such as these have been shaking the national composure with alarming regularity, and such shootings only begin to tell the story of gun-related violence in America. Should current gun laws be strengthened, or does the solution lie elsewhere? The current edition of the Christian Research Journal offers differing perspectives on what Scripture, the Second Amendment, and statistics have to say. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. And now, with more answers, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. And right back to our phone callers. Next up is Isaac, listening in Mission, British Columbia, Canada, K-A-R-I. Hi, Isaac.
Hi there. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Very good, thank you. First of all, I want to thank you for your ministry. It's amazing.
Thank you.
Very good. I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to get your thoughts on how I, as a young person, I'm only 21 and I'm in Bible college and I'm training to become a pastor. How can I respond to those that are in the emergent church and in progressive Christianity? I have a really close friend of mine who, you know, has read all of Brian McLaren's books and Rob Bell's books and is really into this sort of emergent church. And I've done a lot of research. And I find it really hard on how to respond to them and how to even talk to them without sounding like I'm judging them. And yeah, I just want to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, well, first of all, with gentleness and with respect, we did an article in the Christian Research Journal, which is titled Navigating the Emerging Church Highway. And I think it's a very instructive article in that not all emergence is alike. You have the emerging evangelicals, you have the house church evangelicals, you have the emerging reformers, but you also have the emerging liberals. And that emergent form is very difficult and dangerous on a lot of levels. For example, you look at McLaren, you mentioned, but also people like Rob Bell. I'll give you an example. He speculates that if Jesus had a real earthly biological father named Larry, and if archaeologists find Larry's tomb, and if they do DNA samples and prove beyond the shadow of a doubt that the virgin birth was really just a bit of mythologizing that the gospel writers threw in to appeal to followers of Mithra and the like, we would essentially not lose any significant part of our faith because it is more about how we live. Now, to be fair, Bell does not deny the virgin conception of Jesus Christ, but he does deny that it is of any notable theological importance. But think about the alternative to the virgin conception of Jesus Christ that is offered in the Bible. The alternative is that Mary was a sexually sinful woman who conceived Jesus Christ illegitimately. In other words, if the virgin conception was untrue, then the story of Jesus would change dramatically. So oftentimes what is taught in these circles is decidedly dangerous and so frequently without thought of what the consequences to these ideas really are, what the logical extension would lead to. So I think this is something that you should be hugely concerned about, but you should inform yourself, as it sounds like you're wanting to do. Inform yourself and then be ready with an answer. The faith once for all delivered to the saints isn't being changed in this epoch of time due to the big pressure to be politically correct. It's never going to change. People are going to change, and they're going to say now that truth and reality is determined by the size and scope of the latest lobby group or by what is politically correct at the time, but truth doesn't change. And when it does, then you don't have truth at all. You have the shifting sands of people's opinions.
Yeah, no, that's great. I totally believe it 100%. It's scary. Yeah, you're right, especially with my generation right now. The young people, they love that sort of truth is relative, let's all be like Jesus, and not really. But I totally understand what you're saying, and I thank you so much.
You got it. The article, I think, is instructive. It's available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can find it online, or if you want to hang on, I can send you a copy.
Definitely. Thank you.
You got it. Thanks for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Dave. He's listening in Canada as well, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada on the web. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Hank, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
Man, it's incredible to speak to you. I've been listening to you for about 15 years, ever since I became a believer. And look up to your teaching as one of those cloud of witnesses that we read about in Scripture. So thank you so much for being faithful to the call. Hank, the question I've got for you is we've recently started attending a church plant here, and it's one of the churches underneath the banner of New Frontiers, which I believe was started by Terry Virgo. Are you familiar with this?
You know, I don't know a lot about it. We may have more information from the perspective of our research department. So off the top of my head, he's a leader within the British New Church movement, and this is a large apostolic network in the UK. And the basic idea is reformed, charismatic, and he holds to apostles and prophets for today and the like. But I don't know a lot more than that off the top of my head.
Okay, so I really have two questions for you.
Sure.
The first one really is, of what you know about this, I mean, would you recommend these group of churches as a healthy, well-balanced church? I'm not charismatic. I mean, I'm charismatic personality, but not charismatic religiously speaking. But, you know, we were kind of pulled into it, and we've grown really fond of the community, and we have some concerns about their spirit theology. We grapple with it, and I don't want to be about drama. I want to either move forward or back out. And so what's your perspective? Is this a church you would say, hey, yeah, probably a really well-balanced, based on what you've just communicated, you understand?
Well, let me say that I don't think it is healthy and well-balanced, but I don't want to speak out of turn without doing the proper research or turn to those that have. So rather than giving you just a pat answer on the air here, what I'd like to do is have you hang on and we'll do the further research for you so that we can give you that which is properly researched. I know just enough to be dangerous, and I don't want to overstep my bounds on the air.
If you know enough to be dangerous, then I'm a complete nincompoop. Hank, that'd be excellent. Can I just read two brief statements about spirit-filled theology posted on their blog? Just comment on them briefly. I actually think this might be a bit of a pitch for your recent book, which I'm going to go and grab. I'm going to read it. I love your stuff. So what they said on their blog, it was in writing about the instances in Acts where there was different fillings of the Holy Spirit, or where different groups received the Holy Spirit. And so the first statement is this. I'll read it and you can respond. It says, when we deny the possibility of receiving the Spirit at a different moment to repentance and faith, we clearly stand against what Scripture portrays.
Well, what I would say about that is that it bears contextualization, because, you know, words and phrases are not univocal, they're equivocal. They take on the meaning that the context allows them to have. What I believe and what I've taught on the Bible Answer Man broadcast and other places is that when you become a believer, you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. So your temple becomes the temple in which the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, resides. But in the outworking of our Christian walk, we need to be daily, we might even say moment by moment, infilled by the Spirit. So there's a difference between indwelling and infilling. Infilling is tantamount to saying being empowered for service, and that is something that has to happen over and over again. So I don't rely on praying yesterday, Lord, fill me with your Spirit so that I can do what I do on the show, not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit, and say, well, I did that yesterday, I don't have to do it today. No, daily I want to pray to be infilled with the Spirit, which is a way of saying empowered for service. So that's an ongoing thing. So I'm not sure exactly from what you read what was meant in context. So in fairness, again, I think I'd have to do some more research.
Understood. So with that, should I just hang on to that second statement and wait to hear back?
You know, I think it would be better, only because I want to talk about that which I know of for sure, and not things that I haven't done the research. And turning this over to our research department, I think, would be wise at this point.
Okay, thank you so much. I appreciate it so much. Keep on keeping on. You're doing awesome.
Well, thank you. You hang on, and we'll definitely get the information out to you.
All right, praying for you guys. God bless.
Thank you so much for your prayers. It means the world to me. You know, one of the things that we talk about on the Bible Answer Man broadcast so often is the need that we have for people to pray for this ministry. I mean, I'm wholly committed to the notion that prayer is firing the winning shot. And I think that people will immediately recognize, if they listen to me for a week or so, that what I do is not politically correct. In other words, I'm not trying to tickle anybody's ear. I'm not trying to win a popularity contest. I'm going to say it like it is and let the chips fall where they may. And that's not always very good for support, particularly because almost every day someone's ox is being gored. It's not done for any other reason than the truth, because we love truth and we want people to experience life. You know, Paul says, watch your life and doctrine closely, persevere in them, because if you do, you'll save both yourself and your hearers. And it was so wonderful for Dave to mention the newest resource that we want to put into your hands. This is something that I put together because I wanted you to have something that you could read quickly, that you could remember, but it becomes a plumb line, as it were, something that you can go back to over and over again when things start to fall apart in your life. And life is, I've said so often, is one series of challenges after another. And we're so often tempted to look for solutions at all the wrong places. The secret to real intimacy with God are always found in getting back to these basics. And these basics are so important because life without truth is dangerous. We have to have a plumb line. You need to look no further than the kingdom of the cults to understand that. But truth without life is downright deadly. And to know Christ involves more than knowing doctrine. It involves more than getting an A on an apologetics exam or a theology exam. To know Christ is to experience Christ. It's inner, it's intimate, it's interactive communion with the lover of your soul. So it's more than mere doctrinal knowledge. It's transformation. It involves not merely a changed life. It involves an exchanged life. Christ is our substitute within. And again, I want to make this clear. I'm not denigrating doctrine. Correct doctrine forms the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults. It's the foundation on which the gospel of Jesus Christ rests, from his deity to the eschatological certainty that he is going to appear a second time to judge the living and the dead. Essential Christian doctrine is foundational to the gospel. And that's why I make it analogous to the parallel rails that support a locomotive. Without both, the train simply cannot move. And we can't persevere in our walk with God apart from life and doctrine. The book is available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. And Lord knows we need the support of many people this month to catch up. We're behind again, and we need to catch up. Your sacrificial gift would make a difference. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Be right back here tomorrow with more.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast live, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, follow our blog, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. People are looking for love in all the wrong places. But to find real love and amazing intimacy, we don't have to look any further than our Creator, the one who wants to know you and loves you enough to give his life for you. This month, Hank Hanegraaff wants to help you grow into a deeper love with the one who made you by sending you his newest book called Secrets to Real Intimacy with God. It's his way of saying thank you for your gift and support of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, a gift that helps reach others who are desperate to know true intimacy with God. So please, share generously today and request your copy of Secrets to Real Intimacy with God when you call 888-7000-CRI with your gift. 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Sandy Hook School, the Washington Navy Yard, the Aurora Theater. Mass murders such as these have been shaking the national composure with alarming regularity. And such shootings only begin to tell the story of gun-related violence in America. Should current gun laws be strengthened, or does the solution lie elsewhere? Other topics include The New Nothingness, a look at Lawrence Krauss's A Universe from Nothing. God is love, but is love God? Does the Bible require Christians to attend church?
God and the Unreasonable Effectiveness of Mathematics, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org.